So let's do a short segment. Just on the at the end of Berachas HaShachar, we have the last bracha. Hamavrishena me'ena yusnami achapai v'hiratzim l'fanecha. The whole it's the longest one, right? And it appears verbatim in the Gemara, the same Gemara that most of the brachas we've been talking about, Berachas HaShachar, appear samach am beis. And it says like this. If you remember, all the Berachas HaShachar describe that you, at a certain step in your morning, you do a certain thing, you make a certain bracha. Put on your shoes, you say Shasli Kol Tzarki. You put on your clothes, you say Mabash Arum, etc. So it says, when you wash your face, you say the following. And that's the last one. It actually says in the Gemara, Hamavir Chevle Shena. Chevle Shena means the bonds of sleep. And then it's pretty much straight out of our siddur. V'hi ratzom l'fanecha, Hashem l'kai v'l'kev esay, sh'targileinim sarsecha, v'dabkein mitzvisecha, v'al tibyeinu l'dechek l'de'aver v'avayin, etc. There's actually a little bit extra here that we don't have. It says, v'rachkeini me'adam ra me'chavara. I mean, it's a nice thing. Stay away from bad guys. But mostly it's roughly identical to the bracha as we say it. There are a few points worth talking about. First of all, the bracha of Hamavir Shena needs a little explanation. We're talking about somebody who's already got dressed, he got out of bed, washed his hands, he got moving, and now we're talking about waking up. What have you been doing still till now? Right? Yeah. Avudram, which is a very, very early one of the Mefarshim, this is going earlier than Shulchan Aruch, earlier in the Torah, he says, yeah, when you know, at some point you're still half asleep, you're fully awake. I like to joke that that if coffee had been popular in the times of Chazal, there would be misakin that you would make the bracha of Hamavir Shena when you drink coffee. That's when the sleep finally leaves you. The fact that it says there Chevle Shena, the bonds of sleep, it's interesting. It makes sense because when you go to sleep, the bracha of Hamapil says Hamapil Chevle Shena. And many Mefarshim, the Rambam of Adran, the Beis Yosef, have the Girsa Chevle Shena, but in the Shulchan Aruch it says Amavir Shena. And then we have the long continuation. Fine. So you make a bracha about Hashem removing sleep from our eyes. And then a holy Hiratzon that basically that we should be good today. All kinds of good things should happen. And the Girsa that we have is Vi Hiratzon Milfanecha. Starts with the Vav. And Hiratzon Milfanecha. What lies behind that Vav? What lies behind the Vav is that it's a continuation of the bracha of Hamapil Chevle Shena, as opposed to being a new bracha. We had a similar thing by Berachas HaTorah. Right? That, thanks a lot.
I apologize, I'm so late.
That Vaharevna is a continuation of the bracha. And if it wasn't, the Rishonim say that if it was a separate bracha, then it should start with Baruch Atah Hashem, like all the other brachas. The fact that it just says Yiratzon L'fanecha shows that it's a continuation of the bracha, and that's another standard Shavuos morning fapa that people are half asleep and they say Amen after the Chazan says Amar V'Chel Hashem Eino Yisnami Yafapai, and then some people start shushing. It's very common, and it's a dilemma for a Chazan. Every Chazan who says the brachos out loud, so they know that somebody's going to say Amen. So the question is what to do. What you could do, and sometimes people do, is they trail off. They say it quietly. The problem is the whole point of the chazan making the brachos is to be motzi people who didn't say the bracha themselves. So that's also not so good. That's a little bit of a dilemma. Shkoyach Rav Meishan. Taisus and Afman Vav and brachos speak this out. You should say Vihi Ratzin. Not everyone agrees to this. There are Rishonim who hold that Yehi Ratzon is its own bracha. The Rambam and the Yemenites, you say what the Rambam say, they say Yehi Ratzon Mulfanecha, Shtagileinim Sarasecha, etc. Sounds like they hold it's a separate bracha. I didn't see in the Mefarshim on the Rambam to talk about it. But the way we do it really raises an issue. If it's a long one long bracha, what's the continuity? What's the theme of the bracha? I thank Hashem. Thank Hashem for waking me up. And Targilenu Sarsechav, Dabkin Mitzvisechav, keep me away from the Yitzhahara, Yitzhatai. What's the connection between those things? And, what's the name went around? Aaron Grossman went around. He's making his way, fighting his way through the building. Tosis asks the kasha in a technical way. Tosis asks that the end of a bracha is supposed to reiterate the topic that it starts with. There's a klal that you're supposed to have samach lachasima me'ena psicha. So he says, where at the end of the bracha does it return to the theme of waking up? Tosis says that being refreshed and renewed every morning is a huge chesed. So when we end and we say v'sigmuleinu chasadim tayvim, hagoyim l'chasadim tayvim l'am Yisrael, that's the chesed. The Iyun Tfilo, which is printed on the in the Siddur Aitzar Tfilis, he says something else. It's a kind of thematic. He says, there's no point in waking up if you're not going to use your day productively and do mitzvahs. Otherwise, better stay in bed. So he says, that's why we say, thank you Hashem for waking us up. And now, we need your help. We need your help to stay away from Averis, to do mitzvahs. Another thing that Mefarshim ask is we daven targileinim sarasechav dabekenu mitzvasechav al tivienu ledichei, don't bring me to sin, don't bring me to avera, keep me away. So simple question. Well, that's up to you. We have free will. We have free will. I've heard stories in the past. Somebody goes to a tzaddik and says, "Give me a bracha, you know, that I should become a talmud chacham." So I say, "Oh, you want to be a talmud chacham? Spend a lot of time learning, you'll become a talmud chacham." It's not something that comes with brachas. So how about this? Targileinim sarasecha v'dabkeinim mitzvasecha. You get that by davening for it, or you get that by doing it? What does it mean that we daven that Hashem should
help us?
Right. Clearly that's what's going on. Vajram says that we're davening for help. Meaning, it's interesting. That means, besides for exercising our bechira, we also need help dealing with the Yetzirah in some way. Gemara says that if Shev wouldn't help us deal with the Yetzirah, we wouldn't be able to deal with him. You find other places also. There's an even bigger kasha that the Mefarshim ask. There's a story in the Gemara about Rebbe, that Rebbe had people in his neighborhood that were causing him problems, so he davened they should die. His wife, was it Rebbe? I think it was Rebbe, right? His wife, Ruria, said, don't daven they should die, daven that they should do tshuva. So the question also, how do you daven that someone should do tshuva? I mean, they have free will. If they're not... So, there's a Marshan, there's a Moshe Feinstein. I forget who talks about it. I think the Marshan is the Kasha. And he says, yeah, you could daven that Hashem should help with the circumstances. Don't put me in a bad situation. It's interesting because you would think that that would all be part of a person's tafkid. But anyway, that's what it says. It's very, very clear that there's such an idea as praying for siyata d'shmaya and fighting the Yetzihara. When daven that Hashem shouldn't bring us to tests, l'olei de nisayim v'olei de vizayim, or to vizayim means shame. I had a mashgiach in yeshiva used to say that sometimes the fact that a certain thing is a test for a person is a vizayim. The fact that this is a nisayon is a vizayim. But the idea that we want to avoid being tested is interesting because in a certain sense, growth comes from testing. There's a legend from the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Tzadik quotes it and says that he doesn't believe it. That the Baal Shem Tov said that, you know, the Rambam writes that the pinnacle of tshuva is when you experience the same test that previously you failed and then you pass it again, and then you pass it. Experience the same test, then now you pass. So he says it was reported in the name of the Baal Shem Tov that if a person does tshuva from an avera, then they should go put themselves in that same situation, the same type of temptation, the same type of problem, and then not succumb, and that cements the tshuva. Reb Tzadik writes, how could it be? We don't try to put ourselves into nisayon, right? It seems to be a reading of the Gemara says that I think about David HaMelech, that there's a place in Tehillim where David HaMelech says, I ask you to test me. I ask Hashem to test me. Sounds like he's asking for tests. And he is criticized for that, for being asked to be tested. So, my father once said in a shir that sometimes you get to a point where something that used to be a test is not a test anymore. For example, let's say somebody who... I had a friend who told me that ham is really delicious. Ham is delicious. You never tasted it. I tasted it. He said it's great. It's really yummy. So Let's say somebody is working on, you know, he was from a place where he ate food that wasn't kosher, and now he's overcoming that. So that person probably should cross the street when he goes by McDonald's. You know, they pump the smell out, I think, onto the sidewalk on purpose to entice you, right? So that person who sometimes manages and sometimes doesn't manage, right? So he should cross the street. I want to get tested. Now, let's say 20 years later, he's a big tzaddik, fully observant, keeping all the mitzvos. Does he now have to cross the street when he walks by the McDonald's, or would he be the same as me? When I walk by McDonald's, it's not a test for me at all. There's no chance I'm going in there. So I don't think I have to cross the street. It's not an isayim for me. So he suggested that maybe whatever the Baal Shem Tov meant, he was referring to somebody who gets to the level where it's really not even a test. Perhaps that's what it means. Because, okay. One other interesting point is, listen to the way the Gemara says. The Gemara says, What's interesting about this Gemara is all in singular, right? And the way we say it is, Mishnah Berurah says that the whole bracha should be said in the plural. Yeah. I mean, Chassidim, there's no difference. It's all targileini, but the way we do it, I once heard a Chassidish Rav giving a shir about something similar. He was talking about Tefillas Aderech. Tefillas Aderech, and the Gemara says, and then later the Gemara says you should say B'lashon Rabin. So he said you have to say B'lashon Rabin. You should say M'chayz Cheftzi, and the problem is it's the same words. So Teilichayni L'shulayim. So the Gemara says you say Teilichayni L'shulayim. It's the same thing. So it's hard to say. But for us we have a difference. And the Mishnah Berurah says it's based on a Magen Avraham that you should say it in a plural. So the question becomes, if you're supposed to say it in a plural, why does the Gemara say it in the singular? Like, what changed? It's a good question. I saw just today, there's a sefer called Makara Tfilis, and he says that this comes back to the history that we learned 2 weeks ago, that these brachos used to be said at home. At least the simple way you read the Gemara. Person woke up, they said Elokei Neshama, they didn't even wash their hands yet necessarily. They started getting dressed. They said Malbush Harumin. They put on their shoes. They said Isli Kol Tzarki. All these things. They stood up. Zekev Kufim. I know I'm saying it out of order. And Al Kapanim. So if the brachas were said at home, so it was just a person saying it for himself. Later, historically, we said for two reasons that changed. I think I mentioned this last week. It changed for two reasons. One is that our practice is we don't make brachas before we wash our hands. And it's pretty clear that they used to make the brachas before they washed their hands. So for that reason, we couldn't make the brachas as we were getting out of bed. The second thing was, the takana was to say the brachas in the Beis HaKnesses to be Maitzi Amei HaAretz. So now, once it becomes a bracha that you say in the shul with the community, with the congregation, so it makes sense that you should say it B'Lashon Rabim. One interesting thing is that in the bracha itself, the way we say it, we switch in the middle of the bracha. Hamavir sheina me'einai usnumami afapai. That's a singular. My eyes. We don't say afapenu einenu. Then you say viratzim alfanecha shem alkeinu v'alkei avoseinu. So we're switching in the middle of the bracha, which is a little odd. The Yemenites say hamavir sheina me'einenu usnumami afapenu. It's more consistent.
What about the other
brachas? Right, Shasali Kaltzarki. We don't say Sha'asalanu Kaltzarkenu. Yeah, that's a good point. Shalasani. It's all in the singular.
Yeah, a lot of them are singular.
Right, true. That's a good question. Why are we switching? No, thank you. I'm good. I got to drive. So, I don't know the answer to that. That's something worth looking into. The most. It's not really about this bracha, but just for me, the most surprising thing, we make so many brachas about the fact that we woke up. First, we say, our practice, we say Moida Ani. Say L'kai Neshama about getting back the Neshama. We say the bracha Mavri Chevli Sheina. What's the point? My father is bothered by this a lot. My father can't deal with being unproductive. And that's why he's who he is. He doesn't waste a second. He says he can't understand why Hashem created a world where you have to spend a quarter to a third of your life unconscious. What is the purpose of so much sleep? Why do we sleep so much? What do you think? I don't know. I mean, medically, there's probably some explanation. It's very clear that it's not healthy to if you're deprived of sleep, it's not good for you. But why? Why all the sleep?
Amen. Order memory?
Yeah. What?
Why were we created that way?
Right. Why?
Order memory.
To order memory? Right. There are certainly things going on in the person's brain. They do a lot of studies over what's actually going on while you sleep. It's just so strange. Hashem, he must have had a reason. He probably could have created the world in such a way that doesn't take that long. Unless the point is that spiritually, maybe, there's so much going on that we need to sleep. It reminds me, you know, in the world of electronics, anytime something goes wrong, the first step in troubleshooting is turn it off and turn it on again. Always. Always. Right?
You know, ironically,
yeah.
So I elevators, they break.
Yeah.
Oftentimes that's a problem, right? Because you reset it, you've deleted whatever kind of fault.
Right.
Right. So they have to try to be able to
recreate it or figure out what it is.
Record,
okay.
You know, the fault,
right.
So that you know what's happening. What relays went or what boards went.
Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed this so many times. People come with a problem and the first thing is turn it off and turn it on again. I definitely get the feeling that it works with people also. But I find so much. I find sometimes I'm tired, I'm grumpy, whatever it is. It even works with naps, but sometimes you just need a little more time. I get part of it, turning it off and turning it on again. Rabbi Malitsky gave a share about sleep, which I wish I had here. He gave this handout where he had over something, a statement, the name of Lubavitch Rebbe. He said, if not for the fact that we go to sleep at night, like our whole lives would be just one long experience. It would be a disaster. The fact that we always have these cycles, it's true about Rosh Hashanah, it's true about so many things, it's true about the semesters in college. The fact that you always get to start again is definitely, there's also Kabbalistic things about every day being a separate part of the neshama, we should talk about at some point. But it still doesn't explain why so much time in bed. It's frustrating. Like, I don't know about you, I always feel like there's just not enough time in the day to get stuff done. I wish I had more time. And there's so much time. If only you could figure out how to eliminate sleep. People work on this.
It's
different systems, also, cycles.
If you only let's say needed an hour of sleep,
yeah.
A lot of people are going to skip that because
It's
such a short amount of time. They'll just skip it.
Skip that. I don't know if it would be possible. So, I don't know. There was a story of the Rav who asked the guy why he keeps showing up late for Shacharis. So, he said, look, it's a battle. I wake up in the morning, the Yetzirah says, sleep some more. You're tired, it's probably a threat to your health. It's probably pikuach nefesh. You probably better sleep some more. You know how it is, the Yetzirah. And I fight back. So Rav said, you have to fight back. You have to learn how to give it back to the Yetzirah. You have to explain to him that you got to go. Time for davening. So the next day, the fellow shows up to Shacharis, like by Aleinu. So the Rav says, what happened? He says, I did it. I won. The Yitzhar told me, stay in bed. I said, I'm getting up. And we fought. We fought for 2 hours, and I won. I got out of bed.